What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fist. It's your favorite show without an intro. I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam. It is Tuesday. We just wrapped up week number 3. And, we had a couple good games this past weekend. What do you think about the weekend?
I mean, I think there was a game from every time slot that delivered, so that was good.
Yeah, that was good. I'm gonna need you to carry a little bit because I was in my normal habitat, so I didn't
need to get more screens up over there wherever you're watching from.
Yeah, I was outside, so pretty limited screens. I guess let's start with the noon slate, and then
Friday.
Oh yeah, Friday. I totally forgot about Friday. How can you forget about Friday? Friday sometimes produces the best type of games.
You said on the last pod that those were the two best games all week.
Yeah, I expected Arizona to score more than 7 points, but...
they should have.
That's here or there, you know. UNLV Kansas was good. I mean, UNLV with like a 10-minute drive to just put that game away.
Yeah, that was like a good bad game.
Oh yeah, it was horrendous.
It was tough to watch.
I don't think I saw UNLV complete a pass past the line of scrimmage in the second half. Like I don't know if I did. I saw their quarterback doing some gnarly things, but
yeah, just running around and hoping he just get tackled.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll start with Friday. There's a couple other things I want to talk about that I'm going to write down real quick so I don't forget about them because I really don't want to forget about them at all. So as I write this stuff down, there's a couple stuff I wanted to talk about that I probably already forgot about, but that's just the nature of the business we're in. If you're not organized, you will forget about the stuff you want to talk about. So Friday... let's start with UNLV at Kansas. I really thought Kansas had control of that game. As a UNLV super fan, as a UNLV supporter,
I thought you were gonna say alum.
I mean, I could always go to grad school and get that degree in some horseshit. I texted you about, I don't know, 6 minutes into the game, and it might have been four.
You said that UNLV's cooked.
Yeah. I think UNLV went 3-and-out right off rip, and then Kansas marched down and scored, or it was like vice versa. Kansas marched down and scored, then UNLV went 3-and-out. But yeah, I thought that was cooked. It indeed wasn't cooked.
Kansas was until Jalen Daniels let you back in.
That is very true. That was a huge. UNLV, like, they were, like, I got to search up the stats, but they were settling for field goals, like, in the red zone, so.
Yeah, I mean, if the, off end that, of the first yeah. half doesn't happen, I mean, that game is totally flipped.
Yes, now that you bring that up, that was a gnarly end to the half, and that was almost like coach malpractice on those timeouts. Said, yeah, by the time he got the play call, and I couldn't call a timeout. I'm like, what do you mean? You had two timeouts. You could have easily called a timeout and just gave him the play call. Instead, the time's dwindling down. They get it off, and then it's a wheel route that literally just floats over top of the linebacker's head somehow. And
it was 17-6. And they scored with zeros on the clock.
Yeah. And then that was 17-13.
Yeah, 17-13. That's a big difference from
17-6. Did Kansas not score the rest of the game?
They scored a field goal. They each scored a field goal and then UNLV's final touchdown.
Yeah, and getting a gist from those first couple drives from Kansas, I really thought their offense was in tune.
I mean, Jalen Daniels had guys open on that final drive.
Yeah.
And not technically the final drive, but the one to score, when they kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
There's something going on with him. I think he's just in his own head.
I mean, it's week, going on to week, man. Week four already. We're almost to the half point of the season.
But I mean, their season's still all in front of them, though. I mean, they haven't played a conference game yet.
I mean, yeah, and it's tough because, you know, UNLV's 2-0 in Big 12 play now, so with big wins over Houston and now Kansas, so UNLV and Pitt atop the Big 12 table right now. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how he looks this week against a WVU team that led up a lot of runs to Eli Holstein this past weekend. So he just can't force the ball, and it's he's been out of it. Yeah,
he's trying to make too much.
Yeah, just take what the defense gives you and don't force anything, and he'll be fine. Yeah, big for UNLV. UNLV has a good chance of, I mean, a lot of football to be played, but the group of five race for that playoff spot is kind of, that might be the most interesting race in college football, that 12th spot.
Yeah, I mean, who else is it?
Memphis, Boise State, UNLV, obviously in the same conference. So like,
I mean, I would consider Tulane. I mean, they kind of got a raw deal on the schedule.
I mean, Tulane really had a Kansas State and Oklahoma back-to-back. But at the end of the day, kind of like, if they run the table, like, it really won't matter. Yeah, let's stay on topic.
Arizona
at Kansas State. I mean, I'm really not too impressed with either team. Obviously, I think Kansas State's more complete of a team. And that obviously showed on the scoreboard. But I'm really not, like, I'm not sipping on the Avery, what's his name? Johnson. Avery Johnson Kool-Aid at all right now.
Yeah,
he looks explosive in the open field, but like that doesn't win football games.
Yeah, I mean he's a good runner. If he can be a little more consistent with his passing, like, I mean, you don't even have to hit big like shots. You just have to, you know, make a couple throws a game when you can run like that. I mean, Arizona, on the other hand, they're a two-man show. If they can't get the ball to McMillan, they really can't do anything else.
Yeah, and I really thought they really put together a good first drive, and then just nothing after that.
I mean, they had that other drive that got picked.
Yeah,
Fifita had him open. He threw it super late.
Super late, and it hung.
Yeah.
And across and over the middle like that, with them, you can't do that at all.
I will say this though about Kansas State, I do think they have the best defense in the Big 12, though.
Yeah, I mean they definitely can make noise in the Big 12, but when it comes to actually contending, I don't think that they're.
Yeah, I don't think. I think they're more of a contender.
I think they're a pretender, not a contender.
I don't think there's a single contender in the Big 12.
I agree with that. I think the Big 12, the Big 12 winner is probably going to be the fourth seed.
Yeah, definitely.
Depending how the ACC plays.
Yeah.
Depending how the ACC plays out. They could get a tough draw in the quarters.
Oh, yeah. Whoever... that four, nobody wants to be the four. Because you could play like, I mean, only one team from the SEC is going to be in the top four. So that means like Texas, Georgia, Bama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, any of those teams can be a five.
Yeah.
And same with the Big Ten. I mean, it could be like Oregon, Penn State, like those teams will be the five.
Yeah. Interesting to see how it shakes out. Yeah, I mean, this might be a hot take, but there's no reseeding, right, in the brackets?
No reseeding. That's why, like, people were saying they'd rather have the five spot than, like, win the conference.
Yeah, because you get a home game.
You get the home game in the first round, but then you, obviously everybody wants to buy, but... Yeah. Playing the four is a lot better than playing the other three teams.
I mean, it depends how you look at it. So the five, well, actually, the five does kind of get shafted. Well, just on this basis. So say you're in your conference championship, you lose, and then you end up at the five. So you miss out on the bye, and you played in your conference championship. So now you're playing, boom, boom, and then you got to run the table for.
Yeah, I mean that also then, sucks like, if you're undefeated.
Yeah, you're undefeated all the way. You lose in your conference championship, and then.
Yeah, that would suck.
Should be interesting though. Kansas State. Yeah, I mean Big 12 play is about to start heating up here soon.
We got some good ones from Big 12 this weekend.
Yeah, I might have forgot to write them down on the thing.
Yeah, we could just go through.
Yeah. Recap. Let's go into Bama.
Ooh. What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My headphones just like exploded in my ear.
Dude, it's probably your computer. Your laptop.
All right.
I mean, you're fine.
All right. Just making sure because this result, they literally like exploded in my ear. So I wasn't sure. All right. Bama minus 16 at Wisconsin. I mean, I only watched a half of this game.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest. And kind of disappointing Tyler Van Dyke got hurt.
Yeah, because I like, yeah, they beat the brakes off them, but if Van Dyke doesn't get hurt, he hits some of those throws that the lock was missing.
Yeah.
And kind of makes it a game.
Yeah. But Alabama's offense kind of like turned on like right they before the on right before the off, yeah.
The, right, like, the turnovers and their inability to score.
I kind of think the really turning point though was that first half. The end of the first half where it was the missed field goal and then Alabama scored in two plays.
Yeah, if he makes a field goal, it's 14-6 going into half. Instead, it's 21-3.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm not sold on Bama's defense at all, but I think they're going to produce some high scoring games with some shootouts, with an offense that's capable of moving the ball and can complete a forward pass and things like that that, you know, require moving the ball.
I mean, their defense, what we were all saying, their secondary, you know, got to be worried about their secondary. And Wisconsin had plays open that game.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I'm not buying any stock into Bama beating the brakes off Wisconsin and Camp Randall.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change my mind on Bama this year.
Yeah. Not at all. I think it's one of those games where it's like, oh, my God, Bama beat the brakes off Wisconsin at Wisk. And then, like, they get, like, checked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. If we want to talk about some ref shows this weekend, which it was all over. The refs this weekend.
And on Sunday. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So, if we about to go into a total ref show. LSU at South Carolina. LSU 36, South Carolina 33. If Beamer just had like an ounce of like, let me just like hand off the football, gain fucking 2 yards and kick the field goal, instead of like, you know, getting Zeller's ankle like rolled up on and
I don't understand why he just didn't run the field goal to run out the half to get down, kick the field goal, go into half.
Because I mean it's tough to say, but like South Carolina's offense in the second half with Robbie Ashford was like completely non-existent.
They couldn't move the ball and they were scared to like. At one some point, you gotta let them try and throw. Like you're gonna lose the game either way.
Yeah, so, and then obviously had the pick six in the first quarter, called back to the horse collar. Wasn't even near the horse collar. Had the pick six, called back in the fourth over fucking unnecessary roughness on a block, which wasn't really. It? Yeah, I watched it. He did exactly what you're told to do.
Yeah.
you with the hand, like with the hands out, like that's what you're taught to do, because obviously with the blindside block, like you can't do that. Him. So you're supposed to extend with your arms, and I think that's what he did.
Yeah, I mean overall, I mean that's a game they should have had.
Yeah, and then obviously the kicker pushed it right at first, so I knew as soon as he pushed it right, I knew that shit was going left, because he was going to try and make sure he was going to try and make sure he wasn't going to push it again. He overcorrected, and
I think even if he makes that, they lose in overtime. I mean, you can't say that, but I don't see them winning in overtime.
Dude, South Carolina was on the verge of a game-breaking, defense. That's what they need. They need either a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown to, win that game. And yeah, they got two defensive touchdowns that got called back.
Well, don't forget, they got that fumble, too. LSU was going to score.
Dude, I totally forgot, because I was driving in the car, so I had my phone. I don't recommend doing this, especially on back roads that you've probably only driven three times. But I had it on my phone, and I saw and I think that only turned into three. Did that even return the points?
Let me check. Yep, three.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because it happened in LSU territory, and then they didn't get a single first down, and they just kicked the field goal.
It was in LSU territory. I'll read you the play-by-play. Robbie Ashford run for one loss. Robbie Ashford run for 1 yard. Then Robbie Ashford passing complete.
Field. Yeah. And then, dude, Robbie did complete that one downfield pass that got called back for I forget what he called. It was either holding or a legal contact on a pick or something. Or
offensive pass interference.
Was it OPI?
I think so.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, this intercept, the pick six doesn't get called back. That's with 5.5 minutes. The game's over.
I know. It's South Carolina is, I was listening to someone say, South Carolina's ones on defense. They're a really good SEC defense. But it's their depth at on the defensive side of the ball just lacks. So when those players come in, it really shows. But their defense is
solid. Their D line is, it's up there, man.
And Stewart didn't even take over that game. It was Kennard who really was game breaking it.
Oh yeah, I mean the D tackle was good too.
Yeah, it was, and I always knew that about South Carolina. It was just putting together a full game, and they just for whatever reason they can't do it.
Well, I'll give Beam the benefit of the doubt this time. I mean, his quarterback did get hurt, or they won that easily.
Yeah, I know. But it did start to fall apart in that first half, even with Sellers.
Yeah, but they hit a big play, that run, and then kind of rejolted everything.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Miami had 750 yards on Saturday.
Doesn't matter. They were playing. Who were they playing?
Ball State. Max schools, man.
Yeah, but some of the Max schools are good. It's just like any other conference, they're kind of top heavy. I'm gutted for South Carolina. I love the Gamecocks. I really wish they could start this season 3-0 with big wins at Kentucky and against LSU. Unfortunately, this one didn't go their way, but hopefully they don't let it break their season. It's still early in the season. They still have some big games ahead of them.
I think they're too young to let that break them. Know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not expecting anything from South Carolina this year, but hopefully next year they continue on this up on this climb that they've been on, and they really trust the climb.
Well, they got a freebie next week. Then they play Ole Miss, Bama, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Missouri, Clemson.
It could be a tough stretch for them. It could be a really tough stretch for them.
At least Sellers can rest this week though.
Yeah, I think he's out this week. I think Robbie's playing. Boston College at Mizzou, kind of a close one down there in Columbia, Missouri. 27-21.
Yeah, that was a final.
I did not watch the tail end of that game.
I mean, they basically just kind of, like, messed around and never tried to score to go up three scores.
I mean, it's tough to score when it's second and 52.
Yeah, that drive was bad. But even then, they were driving. They were up, like, I think 11 or something. Mm-hmm. Or no, they were up 10, and they could have, instead of going, like, trying to get a touchdown, they just kicked a field goal and went up 13. It was really weird. It was, like, third or fourth and two on, like, Boston College 8.
You want to talk about, we'll get into that. Actually, yeah, I'm just going to say it now. It's kind of off topic. You want to talk about not going for it? Mark Stoops down there in fucking Kentucky.
Yeah, that was bad. I don't know what he was doing, dude. Like, okay, Georgia, you can just run this clock out and win.
I just don't understand it. It's like, I expected Georgia to just blow Kentucky's brains out. It's a one point.
I mean, I think everybody did that. Seemed like the easiest read on of the day.
I know. If Vandergriff had like 0.2 more seconds in the pocket on that third down, he hits that crossing route, and they probably fucking move the sticks and possibly win the game.
Yeah. I mean, if he was any bit decent, they would have won.
Yeah. Yeah, but back to Boston College, Missouri. Boston College kind of got an interesting one this week. Michigan State.
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah.
I don't know about this, but like
they're legit. I mean, that big play with the broken play in the first half, that kind of kept them in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But their offense didn't look too good after that.
I mean, you stop one thing and then it's kind of wraps.
Yeah, you stop the run. And Michigan State's defense looks pretty good so far this year. So,
Tulane at Oklahoma wasn't as close of a game as I thought. Or was it? What was the final?
It was. It was 20-4, 19 with 14 minutes left in the second or in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw Arnold threw a pick six.
Yeah, bad. And then, but Arnold scored with 6 minutes left to go up 31-19, kind of put the game away. I mean,
yeah, I think I'm gonna be on the other side.
As expected, is really good.
Yeah,
their offense.
Originally, I was gonna be on Oklahoma this week, but I think I'm gonna switch to the Vols.
I don't know.
It's such an exciting.
I don't know. It's tough.
I can't be sold on Oklahoma.
Yeah, but 7:30 night game in Norman, getting 7. Nico, freshman, first big atmosphere.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Oklahoma's defense is good.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that next episode. W at Pitt. I mean, see, look, I'm disappointed. I wish these two schools were more like nationally recognized on the basis of, like, let's say I was still living in Columbus and I never moved to Pittsburgh, and this game was on 3:30 on ESPN2. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have given a fuck about it, you know. Yeah. You know, but instead, I'm a Pitt alum now, residing partially in Pittsburgh these days. But so, like, obviously, I care about the game. But like, this is like a type of game, like it's a rivalry game, middle of the afternoon.
No matter how bad these teams, like one of these teams could be, it's always delivers.
Yeah, I know, and I wish this game had like the national recognition that it deserves, because it like delivered wholeheartedly.
It was definitely the best game Saturday.
Yeah, it was kind of a ref show. It seemed like every single play on either team there was a flag.
Yeah, it was. I think, let me go check here.
And
20 total penalties, 19.
Yeah, I think Pitt ended with like 13, 12 for like 112, I think.
Yeah, because they got like two holdings right at the end there.
Yeah. Big 12 crew. No bueno there, but yeah, I wish this game had the national attention, because I think it really deserved it on Saturday, because it really performed well. And it's like, if these teams were like up there nationally,
they should have just like intentionally like put them in like 24-25, just so like more people would watch.
24-25,
like ranked.
Yeah.
I mean, in the AP, just for this game.
Pitt still only got one vote in the AP.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts to me.
Yeah, I mean, so if you go back 2 years ago when these teams opened up, I feel like there was a decent bit of, just because it was the Thursday opener.
Yeah, and it was the first game back.
Yeah, first game back, Thursday opener on ESPN. It was kind of, and that game delivered too. This game obviously delivered. I guess we'll get into it now. I'm kind of just going on a ramble about how I wish like more people were talking about it, because it was it was a great game. It'll be like one of the best games that no one talks about. I mean, obviously some people are talking about it, but like on a national level, they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
So game starts. West Virginia gets a first down. Then they punt. They get a first down, and then they don't move the chains again. They punt the ball away, I believe. Pitt goes 3-and-out.
They kick a field goal first?
Because I think West Virginia was the first ones that scored, because C.J. Donaldson on that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Pitt went 3-and-out, then West Virginia scored, then Pitt kicked a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was back and forth the whole game.
I mean, in the first half, I really thought Pitt was going to take control of the game if they got that first down on the 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
And then it was just a play call from hell.
Yeah, it sort of looked like West Virginia was just going to, like, take control and put this game to rest. But then they threw the holding flag on the touchdown. And then the block punt kind of kept Pitt in there, because Pitt could not move the ball the second half.
Yeah, that's been a problem with Pitt. They can't put drives together. It's either like a big hit that gets them in the red zone, and then they either settle for three or they punch it in.
What kind of surprised me is they couldn't really run the ball.
I didn't like the run concepts that they were trying to use, though. They were all slow developing, like, runs. Yeah. Besides the game winner with Davis, that was like their only, like, other than that, it was all like slow shit with Reed in the backfield.
Reed had finished with 26 yards rushing, and is like, he had a long run of 12. So
yeah, he had that one nice run. But he had two touchdown receptions.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically a receiver too.
Yeah, I mean,
Holstein was huge on his legs, though.
Holstein on the legs, once again, kind of put together the comeback.
Yeah.
I just... Pitt's defense obviously came up big for them. Like, up to, on their standards, they came up big.
Yeah.
Forcing.
On the one drive. I mean, other than that, they gave up, like,
but it's hard because they were on the field. They were on the field the whole second half. Pitt ran.
Yeah, they were. Pitt ran, and West Virginia was doing anything they wanted on the ground.
Yeah, Pitt ran 11 plays in the second half before those two final drives, I think.
Yeah, because it was over quick.
Yeah, they had 4 yards before that. Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where Pitt goes from here. They've kind of had two roller coaster of games back to back. They have Youngstown State, and then if they can go 4-0 going into the ACC schedule,
I mean, they should be 5. They're going into ACC, but they play at North Carolina.
I don't think Pitt's ever won at North Carolina.
Well, they're going to win this year.
That, I could be completely wrong, and I could just be talking sideways. But I see something about Pitt at North Carolina struggle or some shit. Dude, I think I'm definitely wrong on that. Just totally throw that out.
I don't know. Hampton might have 500 yards rushing.
Yeah, but when Pitt knows that you're running the ball, their run defense isn't terrible.
Saturday.
Yeah, but you gotta respect Garrett Green and shit.
I guess.
You know, like it's not like they were
completely. He's not like handicapped, but like Harold can't really throw the ball, I guess. But
yeah, like that's what I'm saying. So, pulling up the. Yeah, dude, they've never won at Chapel Hill. They're 0-7 at UNC.
That's crazy. That's such a random team to be winless against.
So they're 0-7 at away, and they're 4-5 at home. They have a 2-game losing streak. Hold on. 0-2.
In the series, probably. They can win at home.
Yeah. I thought, okay, yeah. So, yeah. So they lost last year at home.
Yeah, that.
Then they lost 2 years ago with Slovis, and then my junior year at Pitt. Yeah, because I was gonna go that game, but I went to the Penguins game instead because it was a Thursday. It was a Thursday night game, and it was a rain game too. That's when they went OT.
Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah.
But
on the flip side of that, West Virginia, where do you go from here?
West Virginia does not have an easy slate ahead. Like they don't have time to like figure out who they don't have time to like figure out who they are. Like they have Kansas this week, then they have WU. I think they have a tough stretch coming up.
Kansas, Oklahoma State,
at Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona, like.
Arizona, I mean, looking at it now, I mean, that might be one of the easier games.
Yeah, what if McMillan just throws up 400 on him?
Yeah, I mean, that very well could happen. I mean, the secondary has not been good at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, I said it, I was like, how much longer do you trust the climb? How much longer do you trust the climb before the rock that you're climbing on just gives out? And it seems to me like all of West Virginia has stopped climbing. And those rocks have given out, and they're going to the bottom of the mountain. That's just what I've gotten from my Huddy Tuddy, Ears Nation.
All those burners.
All those people on West Virginia Twitter has seemed to give up on Neil Brown. Giving up on the coaches, have given up on basically everything in the program right now.
Which, their season's not over either. They have not gotten into Big 12 play. I mean, so really, one of those losses, like, those losses don't matter at all.
Yeah, I know. In the grand scheme of things, they don't. They need to really worry about what's ahead of them instead of what's behind them. But things could get really loud.
If they lose this week, oh my God.
They lose this week, they better stop worrying about Pitt's attendance. And
if they lose this week, they're going to lose the next three.
Yeah.
I think that's just how it's going to unravel.
I think that they match up pretty well with Kansas. But Kansas versus WU seems to always be a shootout.
Yeah.
So I expect a team to get ahead by a decent bit, then the opposing team to kind of come back, and then it be decided in either the last possession or overtime. That's kind of how I feel this game plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's usually down to the end.
Yeah. I don't ever know why I'm previewing it. This is a recap episode. Yeah. Narduzzi's post-game comments, I mean, classic Narduzzi. I mean,
yeah, just why do you got to ruin a good thing?
Yeah, I know. It's not like there was calls all over the field. So I don't think
Yeah, like it was both ways. It wasn't just like one sided.
Yeah, so ill advised by Narduzzi, but I guess he was emotional and didn't have the time to look back at the tape.
He does that shit all the time. Like,
I think we might be seeing Pitt in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not going to go there yet. They can contend, maybe try and sneak their way in, but I still, it's going to be Clemson, Miami.
I think when Clemson comes to town, November 12th, I think that's going to decide who's going to Charlotte on the other side.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Unless the wheels completely fall off Pitt and they start trying to do this comeback kids thing every single week and they start like dropping all these games, then yeah, they will not be. And it's interesting. I saw so if Pitt beats Youngstown State this week, it'd be the first time that they've gone undefeated in non-conference play.
That is crazy. Like in the history? Like...
Yeah. Since they've been in a conference.
Okay.
Jeez. Big East included. So Big East, ACC, this would be their first time ever going undefeated in non-conference play.
Yeah, that's wild.
And
that's an awful stat because most of the time it's not even a good team.
they've dropped some bad ones. And that's why I'm like, this Youngstown State game is the biggest trap of traps. It is the biggest trap of traps. But we'll get into maybe that in the next episode. But what else I wanted to say, there's like another stat from Pitt that's kind of wild about them, like if they start like 4-0, like there's like weird stats, and then they've like either finished like really bad. Or they went on to win the national championship.
I'm taking the latter. Texas A&M, Florida.
Hold on. I will say it was Cade Bell's like real first big game as a play caller. And there's some shit that he needs to just keep in the back of the playbook and then never show up again.
Yeah. But I think overall good game by him.
Yeah, not bad. Texas A&M at Florida. The swamp was swampy. They are terrible.
I think this is one of my best reads of the weekend here.
Everyone laughed at UCF back in the day, but UCF runs college Florida football. They're the best college program in Florida right now.
Other than Miami.
I totally forgot Miami was in Florida. Cut that. Edit that out. Fucking hell.
I mean, they still could.
Okay, edit that out. No, I'm actually not editing that out, but rewind a couple seconds. UCF is the second best college football program in Florida behind Miami. And we're talking about Florida State, Florida, and then you got Miami. But not too long ago.
You're not counting Miami.
Not too long ago, UCF was ahead of Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Last year.
Yeah. But right now, my Florida college rankings go Miami, UCF, USF.
Florida. I don't know whoever wins the last week of the year.
Florida A, Florida State B. They don't get a number. They're 4A, 4B. They're just as bad. But Florida does have a win, so... against the high school down the street.
But yeah, I mean, Texas A&M just kind of beat their ass all day.
Yeah, didn't get a chance to watch it, so you're gonna have to give me a little breakdown. I saw some videos of the backup quarterback taking some ankles.
It was a 33-7. Like late in the third. I mean, it wasn't even like close. It was 20-0 at half. But then they had a rain delay at the end of the first quarter, I believe. But I mean, Texas A&M had like 500 yards of offense. So how bad is that defense? Graham Mertz, it was also weird. Like, he led, like, a touchdown drive. Then they put the other – they put Lagway in. Then back to Mertz, and he threw pick six. Then back to Lagway, and he went down the field and scored. I mean, the offense the second half wasn't bad. They strung together three touchdown drives, but it was pretty much over, and, you know, like, A&M wasn't pressing hard, you know.
There's been some contradictive reports out there saying that Florida called a Board of Trustees meeting on Sunday. Some people have refuted it. Some people have said it went on. Either way, Billy's going to be walking. He's gone. It's just whether if you want to fire him mid-season or just fire him and let him finish the season. Supposedly they already raised the $26 million for his buyout.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot. Like, I mean, not a lie, but that's crazy.
But on the terms of I want to get this off my. On terms of buyouts, though, what the new AD at West Virginia did in the contract with Neil Brown, because he got that extension, he actually lowered the buyout. So Neil Brown's buyout's only $16 million now with his new contract. Napier's is 26. But Florida, this shit's unacceptable in Florida. Maybe a little premature firing of Mullen. Depends how you view that.
I mean, they don't have a bad roster is the bad, like, bad part, right?
I think Napier kind of thought he could bring his Sun Belt ways and just, like, do that shit and,
like, just run the ball
in the SEC, but
yeah.
And then, like, his staff, he hasn't hit on any of his staff hires, and when you miss on those, it kind of comes back and bites you.
With that being said, though, they should win big this week. I mean, Mississippi State just lost by like 40 to Toledo.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know about this Florida team. I know Mississippi State just got their brains blown out by Toledo, but
yeah, I mean, I'm not taking Florida, but
it's what, 6.5?
Yeah, 6 or 5.
Yeah, that's a big stay away. I guess we can talk about this now. Everyone's kind of penciling in Lane to Florida. But if you're Lane Kiffin, do you leave what you're building at Ole Miss to go to a fucking place that kind of needs like probably a year or two?
Yeah, I do. Because I think if you go to Florida, you can contend every year.
Yeah, I think Florida's ceiling's way higher than Ole Miss's. It's just
like
whether
Ole Miss, it's like, you got, like, every couple years, you'll probably be contending.
Yeah.
Florida, if you build that roster right, it's every year.
Yeah, I guess it's just whether he wants to dive into that. Off rip, it's, like, not as appealing, but, like, what you accomplish there and what you can build there, I think, is way more compelling than anything he'll do at Ole Miss.
I think Kiffin's built Ole Miss to, like, almost the best that he can this team this year. So
I guess we'll see, because now I think this is because people are really high on this Ole Miss roster.
Yeah, I mean, they keep built. They haven't played nobody, but
yeah, so I guess we'll see what he does when he ever he reaches SEC play. So we talked about Billy Napier. I guess we did talk about Neil Brown. What do you think about Shador telling the guy, the quarterback, you can't fuck with me?
I mean, I guess he has a right to do that after
Carl
Loretta's did for the past year.
Yeah, I don't know how people are like complaining about Shador doing that whenever that quarterback and the receiver went on a whole media tour for a year, like just having Colorado's like
the other shit they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with it. What would have been more of a power move is you shake his hand, you do a little pull, and then you say it. Like, you know, you do the little power
move. Bring him in and say it, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty decent week gambling. I had a smaller card. I'm going to since I didn't give Georgia on the thing, I'm not going to say I added Georgia, and I'm not going to put Georgia against my record. So I went 1-2. I went 3-1. I had Pitt money line, UNLV money line, South Carolina money line lost, Indiana -2.5, free money. Almost swept. I was so close by sweeping the board.
You were an ankle away.
So, yeah. I mean, that's my first money line bet I've lost all year. I've been pretty on.
Yeah.
Pretty on with the underdogs. Disappointing, but I moved to 14-8 on the year. You had that 1, 2, 3, 4. You went 5-2 and then lost your teaser.
Yep.
So you gained some ground. You went from 8-6 to 13-8. Your two losses, the over in the Kansas State Arizona game, and then Missouri -16.5.
I should just stop betting on Fridays because I don't think I've ever won a Friday game.
You should see my card this weekend. It's half of it's on Friday.
But yeah, I mean, I thought Maryland. I had some pretty good reads where I was kind of nervous going into, like, Saturday.
Yeah,
like Maryland, I thought. I mean, they pretty much dominated that game. I feel like the score should have been worse.
Yeah, dude, I'm kind of mad I didn't hop on that, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, I doubled down on it because when I took it on, when did we record this, Tuesday?
Yeah.
I put it in on Wednesday, and I got -2.5, and I told Derek and JR to take it, and they're like, I'm like, what'd you guys get? And they were like, +2. So I doubled down on that. I don't know how it switched 4 points.
Yeah. Well, I ended up getting plus money for my Indiana pick at -3 because I ended up getting -3.5 instead of -2.5.
Yeah, that's what I got. I doubled down on that too.
So I got, I was like, that's nice right there.
Yeah, Indiana was by far, I think, the easiest play.
Yeah.
Of the weekend. Not even a little bit of a sweat. They kind of just started off 14-0.
Yeah. Guys better be tailing. I mean, we're eating good over here. I mean, it's no lobster and caviar yet, but
we're feeding families.
we're building up. We're building up a couple cheeseburgers from McDonald's here. anything else from week 3?
We forgot the. I mean, one of the most electric games probably was the UCF TCU game.
Yeah, that's why I kind of didn't want to talk about it, because I didn't watch it.
I didn't really watch it much either, but, I mean, yeah. We kind of said it on the preview that it was going to be an electric game.
Yeah, from the highlights I watched, it seemed like UCF was all but done, and then they kind of just came marching back.
Yeah, they were down 31-13 and with 5 minutes left in the third quarter and came back and won, so.
Yep, and then TCU got into field goal range, attempted a 57-yard field goal. That just was a little bright. True freshman, though, he'll pick his head up.
Yeah, bounce back.
Yep. All right, that's going to wrap us here. That was our recap, and this is your favorite show without an outro, and we will catch you for our week 4 preview next week. Listen to us on Spotify and YouTube. Peace.